Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Conscious Thought with Leo on VBS Radio Talk Show, and I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. Well, thank you for everybody, you know, for tuning in tonight, and I'm so excited. You can already actually hear in my voice. I'm too excited in sharing my guests tonight. And before we call them in and introduce them, I would actually like our listener to know, if you have questions for our guests and you would like to ask them, you know, or interact with them, the telephone number you can call in is 888-627-6008. Again, if you are having questions, please call in 888-627-6008. Well, good evening, Sierra and Runo. Welcome to the Conscious Thought.
Excellent. We're so excited to be here.
Yay!
I'm so excited, folks, you know, to having you on the show. And I very much appreciate you for being here. For our listener who do not know about you, you are actually my dynamic duo in transformational force. And I'm so excited because you have this huge box, a toolbox. What you do, you are expert in passion coach. You have a vocal performance, marketing, design, teaching in music and production. And as I was writing this down, I said, oh my God, this is a whole package. Am I right? I'm so excited, you know, that, you know, as I was reading, you know, your bio, that you dedicated your lives supporting women and couples to create greater success in love, life, and business. This is another huge package. And, you know, you're sharing actually 30 years of your adventure together. And I decided, you know what, from here on, I would like you to tell your story and share your experiences and what you do and your success and what is working, what is not working. And let's just take on from here.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for the lovely introduction. I love the whole package. It's times two.
Yes, so that's amazing.
You know, the cool thing about Rano and I is that we actually grew up together. And we've known each other for, you know, 30-some-odd years before we became partners in business in various forms. And then ultimately we became romantically involved and then husband and wife. And we've continued these adventures, as you just shared. And so that's really the baseline for what we offer in all of our programs is that deep resonance that we have with each other as people and as male and female, masculine and feminine, and super fun. Like, we have so much fun together that we just ooze and resonate fun and pleasure and play, which, of course, is really what we teach the world. We teach the world how to bring more fun, pleasure, and play into their lives to actually gain more of what they want with way less effort.
Yeah, basically. Go ahead.
Well, I was just trying to kind of, you know, let Sierra know about that, you know, that was actually what really attracted me when I started to read you, you know, information on your website. I said, oh my God, this couple is so dynamic. They're so magnificent. They have so much energy and passion that makes so much sense, because I realized, I said, you know, here I am having my show, Conscious Thought, and what I recognized, started to become too serious. And I said, wait a minute, I need to bring a balance here.
And
this is why I realized, I said, you know, I wanted to bring couples in, and that what really motivated me. And when I was reading your information, I said, this is a perfect couple for that.
Hey, all right, well, let's bring some fun and less seriousness to the table.
Exactly.
A cornerstone of our work and how we kind of got to it together is when Sierra mentioned that, you know, we were friends for so long, and it was really interesting. When we started our business together, we had disagreements, and we started, you know, bashing heads here and there, and we had a little bit of power struggle, but nothing compared to the fateful night where it changed from just friends and business partners into romantic partners. And then we noticed that all of a sudden, the same thing that was not really an issue the week before all of a sudden became an issue. And we were like, oh, wait a minute. If it wasn't an issue last week, but now it's an issue this week, what does that mean? And so we started on this 3-year journey of uncovering and cutting out and looking at why this was. And what we uncovered, it was our own wounds from our past relationships that we were projecting onto the other person. And that's where our body of work has come from, is because we were able to get ourselves back into the friendship box instead of the romantic lovers box. We could actually see each other more clearly and then communicate with each other and help each other and support each other.
Rona, this is so fascinating. This is amazing. I would like you actually to kind of talk more about that, because this is so crucial in today's society. Look at how many struggles, you know, people, especially couples, are dealing outside in the world. And they are not recognizing this difference. And this is so crucial to point out.
Absolutely. We all know in our head that the number one issue that happens in relationship when things break down really boils around to communication. But what most people aren't really talking about in relationship to communication, and literally physically and everything else, not talking about, is that how much of our own personal wounds, our past, our beliefs, our conditionings are brought into our romantic relationship. And our lives. This isn't actually doesn't even stop at romantic relationships. This is, we bring all of that baggage.
It just happened to be the most painful.
Yes, the most painful, exactly. We bring so much of our past wounding into all of our endeavors as adults. And then when things don't actually work out the way we want to blame. We just want to blame the other person. We want to blame the situation. We want to blame our boss or blame our kids or blame our house or blame the weather. And really, it's about taking 100% responsibility to look at, well, where have I created this particular belief, and why am I creating this experience in my life?
Excellent. Well, this is what is so amazing. What is your experience? Who is struggling more with this issue, past wounding and stuff, male or female? What is your experience?
Oh, definitely the girls. No, I'm kidding. I'll say it this way. I think that both men and women struggle with the same past wounding equally. I think women are more open to actually looking at it and making the changes, where guys are a little bit more, because women are such emotional creatures, it's in their best interest to work through those emotions and work through some of the processes. Where men, we can compartmentalize things and just stuff them away, put them aside. So we're not as adept to look at them. So I know for
years
in my relationship.
You're trying to play a big guys and strong guys. Is it so?
Yeah, strong. And it's not okay in society to be vulnerable and to show yourself. And it's even
and
more
to cry and to feel.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that... I don't want to say it's not easier for anyone. It's really challenging to look at your own way that you show up and look at your stuff. Do you have anything to add, Sierra?
Yeah, I would say that based on what Ronald just shared, one of the things, and this is one of our specialties in our work, is we start with helping the woman because of, yes, Ronald just shared that they're a little bit more able to... They're more available to look at what's not working. However... women have, we live in a culture, most countries around the world have built themselves on a patriarchal value system that, that literally says that this particular way of living, existing, achieving, receiving is the only way. So here, women who have been oppressed for thousands and thousands of years have now fine-tuned the way that we survive in this patriarchal culture. And so we not only have a whole suppression going on ultimately, even now we have the most liberal, we've been the most liberated than ever before, but we are still one of the most unliberated in our own minds as women. So I think because we're battling not only where we've been oppressed and suppressed, but we're also battling the baggage and the beliefs that we are, have been created since we were young kids. So on that regard, the women may have a slightly tougher time in adjusting to any type of relationship where a man is more valued in the world just because of who they are, and so you have that situation as well.
I guess we could get in a fight about this as well, just on the air. Well, men struggle because they can't keep vulnerable.
Right, women struggle more. I'll say this too. I truly believe men are also victims of the patriarch as well, because there is the standard has become so heightened that nobody can live up to it. Nobody. And especially as we evolve more spiritually and consciously, we just can't live up to what we had created and what actually maybe worked for whatever reason 100, 200, 300 years ago, but it's not working right now. We're seeing it everywhere. We're seeing the downfall of our systems, our political systems, our bank systems, our education systems, our food systems, our love, you know, marriage systems. There's nothing in this planet that's not been
holding the test of time, really.
Yeah, that's holding up to the test of time. So clearly there's a shift happening, and there's a need for us internally to shift so that we can actually usher this new paradigm of personal responsibility and co-creative, collaborated, conscious communication and partnership, which is what is being asked of us as human beings.
Well, listen, you just hit the nail. This personal responsibility is my mantra for so many years, and it's so hard actually to bring that statement, not statement, but, you know, that idea into the world, because people are still living in the scarcity and in the victimhood. They even don't know what that means, personal responsibility. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh, absolutely. It's one of the biggest issues is blame, blame, blame. And there's not enough. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is why it's so, you know, I was looking for actually to kind of bring this, you know, all this dynamic so that we can actually dive into this pleasure effect. So tell me what is that?
All right, I'll start and then I'll let Sierra put the icing on that pleasure cake.
Yes.
The pleasure effect, again, it's years and years of research that Sierra and I have done, both personally and other research projects and things like that that have been going on for the years. So I'm going to cite several books that kind of hint to this or name leaders that hint to this. So Tony Robbins, for example, he's a big guy in the industry. He helps people transform their lives. And one of the core principles of all of his work is for you to be able to find the better feeling thought and to switch it around into something that's better for you by doing a state change into something new. Another one is Napoleon Hill, who wrote the book Think and Grow Rich. And he's constantly talking about, you know, that better feeling thought, find the good things in it. So we and even in the Bible, it talks about it, and all these religious texts, the Game of Life, all these books, all these different people. So basically what we looked at is we're like, well, what are they really talking about? What do they mean, find the better feeling thought, or go within and find your joy, or find your bliss, or what does all this actually mean? And that's how we boiled it down into the pleasure effect. Because the effect that pleasure has on your life is actually the missing ingredient. Like the book The Secret, for example, that came out. That was a big deal. Everyone's like, yay, I'm going to manifest and attract everything to me. The law of attraction. Yay, it's great.
But full of anger.
Working for people. Yeah. Why wasn't it working for people? It wasn't working because they did not have the pleasure effect as part of it. When you put the pleasure effect in it, then you get more. So now I'm going to have Sierra describe for you what the pleasure effect actually is and how it works.
Awesome.
So what Ron was talking about is we all got the idea that, okay, if we have a clear vision and then we back it up with a feeling and ultimately a good feeling, then we can then attract into our lives that which we most desire. The challenge is we live in an extremely pleasure-starved society. Especially in America, we have puritanical roots that tells us, you know, pleasure, desire, all those things are bad. They're the devil. They're this, they're that.
Don't touch yourself. Don't have sex before marriage. Sex is bad.
You know, deny yourself. Feel guilty if you actually have a good time in life. You know,
give everything to everybody else. You know, all that good stuff.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so and on top of that, we've also been living specifically in a world that doesn't really value having fun. We live in a world, like I mentioned earlier, in the patriarchal society that values hard work, focus, drive doing, achieving over joy, receptivity, allowing, fun, excitement, passion, ecstasy, you know, which is all on the feminine side of things. So that coupled with, and additionally, we also have a world that has struggled to survive because we haven't always had the modern conveniences that we now do. I mean, now we can walk in our door, the water runs, the lights turn on, the roof is solid, you know, food is bountiful in the grocery store. So we're not in a survival mindset like we used to be. However, that doesn't mean that we've changed in how we approach life. So we're just now stepping into a time where pleasure is like a luxury when it actually is a necessity. And the idea of the pleasure effect is that when we can actually be in our joy more often, we can then attract with that joy the things that we most desire. Because at the end of the day, anything we want in life, whether it's a new car, a love of our life, a pay raise, a new job, a, you know, living our passions, I mean, you name it, it's never about what we actually want in that physical realm. It's how we want to feel. And if you ask anybody about their desires, their goals, their dreams, their wishes, you're going to find out that there's feelings attached to them. And each one of those feelings is a joyful, pleasure-filled feeling. It's not a crappy feeling. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, when you want something, when you're just like, you're like, ooh, I want something. It's not like, ooh, I want to grab a hammer and beat my hands with it. You never have those. I mean, you might have those sadistic thoughts here and there. But
you might want to beat somebody else with a hammer.
Yeah, you might want to do that. But usually the thoughts that you're having are like, ooh, an ice cream. That makes me feel good. Or, ooh, I can't wait to getting snuggled in with my lover. Ooh, that feels good too. They're all.
But then you have this little voice in the background that says, "No, no, no, you cannot have that."
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right. So we have, which is again, this old belief, this old conditioning, this old paradigm that says
those are the ones that mess up the relationship.
Yeah, those are the mess up relationships. Those are the ones. Those are actually the ones that get in the way of us manifesting what we most desire, because at the end of the day, we are conditioned to immediately, we have a desire, like, oh my gosh, we see somebody singing on stage and we get this desire, wow, I want to sing on stage, I want to perform, I want to be witnessed, I want to be creative in that way, I'm totally inspired. And then the voice inside your head goes, well, you're no good, you're not going to be able to do that, how the heck, I call it the how hole, you fall into the how hole, which is saying you need to figure out exactly what you need to do in order to make that happen, instead of just going with the desire, allowing yourself to feel good about it, playing in the realm of pleasure and feel good while you're actively looking or creating ways to do that, and then actually ultimately creating that. But most of us, like you said, go right into that negative thought pattern, feeling like we can't do it. We go into the how hole. We feel bad. We get jealous. We get envious. We think it can't happen. And then it's a recipe for disaster.
And that's when we start projecting our stuff onto other people.
Wow. Well, see, this is why I was kind of, when I was, you know, putting this whole things tonight together, I said, you know what, I really want us to create this magical, you know, garden that people can recognize, they can, you know, make their dreams possible. But from the, you know, but they have to show up, you know, because from the quantum point of view, you know, nothing happens until the observer shows up, you know that. And then, you know, it's just still a possibility.
Exactly.
And that's what we wanted to encourage today. This is what I would love to encourage people, that yes, you can do that, but you know, you still have to, in the process, to feel that joy.
Yeah, and so I would love to even go a step further and even give a little bit of a process.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Awesome. So let's just take the concept of desire. Like I just shared, we get this hit of inspiration, this idea, this like, you know, a wellspring of internal longing and yearning to create, to create something, have something, attract something, be somebody. And so that is what we call desire, desire form. Then we have the feeling of that desire that I just described. It's like, okay, so what is that desire? So I want the house by the lake. I need to live by the lake. It makes me feel good. I love the water. I need that house by the lake. So if I invite people to get in touch with what it is that they would like to, what it is that they will feel when that has actually physically manifested, to get into the visualization and the feeling sense of it, then what happens is, based on law of attraction
and quantum physics,
it's all the same. When you're feeling that feeling now, even though it seems so far away from your one slice of reality, from the way that you're looking at life now, from the way you're perceiving your life based on the beliefs and everything else.
So almost like put your hands up in front of you and put your left hand in front of you, and that's the way that you want to feel.
Well, your left hand is your desire, and your right hand is the actual manifestation of that desire.
So they're far apart from each other.
They're very far apart. So let's put like a foot in between them. So left hand is you having the desire. Right hand is the actual desire, the desire itself. So most of the times, because the observer sees what's not really
all the space in between.
No, the observer sees what the observer believes. Mm-hmm. The observer sees what the observer believes. So if I want to manifest $100,000 and I look at my bank account and I see $100, that's going to definitely put me in a different state of mind and understanding of the $100,000. So my left hand, there I am desiring the $100,000, but at the same time on the left hand, I'm observing $100. And normally that's when I go into doubt, fear, worry, or the howl.
And so vibrationally, that left hand or your person, you vibrate your energy, the field, the everything that you feel. You know what it feels like to feel, or to feel, oh, man. Or
how am I ever going to actually get to $100,000 when all I can ever seem to manifest is $100?
So that mm-hmm. feeling state is that left hand and where it's not so great. And to get to that right hand, which is that house on the water or that $100,000 or whatever it is, that partner, you're never going to get there with that vibrational energy that keeps pulling you away from it. That energy that energy is not going to get you there.
Because for two reasons. Number one, when you're in a constricted mindset and you're in your doubt, fear, and worry based on past conditioning or current perceived reality, then you are literally blocked. You're constricted. You can't actually see the way. And one of the things that we teach our clients and our students is where the desire exists, so too does the way. You cannot have a desire without the way already existing. So that means that as you get excited about the money or you get excited about the lake house, but then you constrict, that reality, that possibility to have those things is already in your field. But when you constrict, you become like blinders on.
It's almost like the constriction is like, have you ever run around the house and you're late? And you're all freaked out and you're trying to find your keys and you can't find your keys and you can't find your keys and you can't find your keys. And then finally you take a moment and you breathe and you're just like, wait a minute. You let go of the constriction and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, the keys are right there. They've been sitting there that whole time, but you couldn't see it. But the way to the keys was always there. You had a desire for those keys to show up before you could get to work, but you were constricted because of the frustration, the stress, everything else. You couldn't see them. It's that simple, and it's that complex on the larger scale. So the key to manifestation and creating the desires that you want, using the pleasure effect to your best interest, is to find that better feeling thought so that your left hand becomes less restricted, and then the pleasure, the vibrational energy of that excitement, of that joy, of that place, opens up and attracts all the opportunities and things that you need in order to manifest the space between your left hand and your right hand, and they literally fold on top of each other, and that's where manifestation can happen instantly.
And I just want to add one last thing there. The right hand, where your desire exists, is the feeling of that desire. So the more that you can get into the feeling of that desire right now, today, like, okay, if the house on the lake makes you feel free, it makes you feel relaxed, it makes you feel luxurious, like you name it, or the money, whatever you name that feeling to be, when you have gotten that thing, and you start engaging in pleasurable activities that bring you those sensations today in the now. It might be yoga, it might be massage, it might be sleeping in, it might be meditation, it might be celebrating every dime that crosses your path. Those things then create the very feeling that you're looking for in the right hand, and that's when they collapse.
So it's all about getting into the feeling of it.
Yeah, the pleasurable feeling of it.
Wow. That is actually pretty amazing, actually, because what became fascinating to me when you said, where there is a desire, there is a way.
If the desire exists, so too does the way.
It's always there, but we can't see it because of our beliefs. But the moment we're like, okay, well, so I can't see it because I have these beliefs, but what if I actually get into the feeling sense? When you're in that feeling sense, and as Ronald just said, like you can't find the keys, and you just take a moment to just pause, breathe, you know, allow, all of a sudden you can see more, and there are the keys. They were always there. So the more that we can be in an expanded state, and pleasure is an expanded state, pleasure opens up the visibility into wider perspective, because when you feel good, you're not constricted. So you can physically, literally, and emotionally see and understand more, so that that very thing that has always been there shows up, and then you can act on it. And it's so powerful and interesting, because this does deal with quantum physics, where everything is happening simultaneously at all times. It's just a matter of where we're putting our focus that allows what we can create and what we can see.
And pleasure allows the observer to instantly be there and observe what's going on. If you're in freak out, you're not going to see it. So you're not going to observe
it. In a heightened state, right? Because again, if pain constricts, pleasure opens.
You know what is interesting? As I'm listening here, and I said, oh my God, you know, the mantra of today is, so many people are complaining about kids. Kids say, well, I want this, I want that, whatever. They all want, they just want. They don't care how they will get it. You know what I'm saying? And they're saying that our kids are spoiled in our society. But as I'm listening to what you are saying, I said, oh my God, no wonder kids can manifest so easy. Because they are in this field.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that really actually changed right now my belief, what I was holding, that yes, the kids are spoiled today. No, they are not spoiled. They are actually in that field where they can, you know, they are asking. They don't care how they will get it. Am I right?
Exactly. Here? And they're tenacious. They're tenacious about it. They're tenacious. We give up way too easily as adults, and we just get all caught up in, you know, woundy. Yeah, we get completely blaming and woundy and caught in the idea that it's never going to happen, so therefore that's what we get.
Wow, I just had this huge aha moment. It's like, wait a minute, this is where we are actually sabotaging our own dreams. Because if you're in this childlike state and you don't know how you will get it, but who cares? You know what I'm saying? This is where the creativity comes in it. But then this little voice says, oh no, you cannot have it. That's how we are killing the dream.
Yep. You got
exactly.
It. You got it.
Oh my God. This is, yes, I told you, I'm so amazed. This is just so beautiful. So what is actually the biggest struggles that you are facing when you're doing seminars or group, group classes? You know, what is the biggest obstacle that you see, you know, facing with people?
Well, I would say that we are so ingrained to struggle that even talking about this concept is really challenging for people. They really can't believe that being more playful, more fun, more free in their lives, more joyous, more fulfilled now is going to actually bring them the things they desire. They've been taught so much backwards. It's like, no, you got to work hard. And then once you get it, you can enjoy yourself. But it makes success in any area elusive because they're not using the pleasure effect in which to bring it in. Because again, who wants to believe that really? Like, everybody believes life is a struggle, and if we're not struggling hard enough, then we're not achieving. And meanwhile, I'm saying, whoa, it's actually, if you're struggling, you're pushing the things you most want further away. You need to, the moment that you want something bad enough, go have some fun around it, because if you're constricted, you are going to take 10 times longer to get it. So we're literally up against society's conditioning, and we're inviting people to, it simply comes down to this phrase. Most people say, I'll believe it when I see it. And we're saying, you've got to
believe it to see it.
You can't wait to see it to believe it. You've got to believe it to see it.
Wow. Phew. Okay, I'm shifting. I'm shifting.
We're on to you.
No, it's just kind of great, you know, when you are able to talk to some, with somebody, you know, who knows what they are talking about. It just look like, you know, because as I was listening, you know, here I am having all these notes, and I wrote down that we are living in a society, and even if somebody would have right now whatever desire and say, oh my God, I would like to have this, but is surrounded by the environment that they say, oh no, no, you cannot have it. We will go actually into the guilt and not do it.
Yeah.
Because yeah, you know what will people say around me?
Well, yeah, that's a big one. That's another challenge that we have in our communities. The students that we teach, we have a saying that says environment will always trump your willpower. So you mm-hmm. might come and be part of something really awesome and get really excited and really in your more authentic state, which is what we're talking about. And then the moment you walk out into your world, you go back into your marriage, you go back into your communities, you go back into your work environment, whatever it is, and all of a sudden you're surrounded by people that don't believe what you've just awakened to, and you will ultimately fall back into their mentality rather than stay in the high vibration and truth knowing that you just discovered, because that's what happens. It's like energy will always take the path of least resistance. So if your energy is back in a room full of people going this way, you're going to go that way because that's the carved out pattern.
Yes. Yes. Big time. Wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing to me, because, you know, I am multicultural and, you know, I lived in three different states, two different countries. And so you're dealing with a lot of different culture. And I will tell you, you know, that the culture can actually suck the life out you or totally kill your dream. So, you know, sometimes you just have to kind of move totally away.
Well, totally. And really, if we were to look at all the different cultures of the world, I think there was a documentary called Happy, and there's really only a few cultures, and they're blue zones, where people live the longest and they're the happiest. And everywhere else is I don't use the word victim, but ultimately choosing to be in victim to what we're saying is ineffective to actually living the lives that we most all as humans desire to live. So it's very few places in this whole world that is a thriving environment in which to be in this type of conversation.
Wow. Do you have actually any statistic about that? Or, you know, what is the, you know, I would love to actually have a little information about that. Because this is fascinating, what you just said. This is totally fascinating.
Well, I would definitely check out the documentary film called Happy. That gives
okay.
a lot of the
Thank
information.
You.
There. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That it's super, it's really great. Another thing that you can search on Google or Bing or whatever you use for your search engine is blue zones. Mm-hmm. And there's even, you're going to start seeing like the blue zone diet and the blue zone this and the blue zone that, because there was studies that have been done for the past 5 years, and I don't have the exact specific studies in front of me, but that's where the blue zone came from, where there's these six zones in the world, and these people in these areas live well into their hundreds with really great health and are perfectly happy. And they study why this is, and then they create a reason why.
And the cool thing is, actually, I'll say this, regardless of whether you want to move to those places or not, what they've found is that one of the, there's obviously diet has an impact, but mainly it's people that live in communities and that literally commit to communities of like-mindedness, especially those that still value family and family values and don't get caught up in all the ways that we get caught up in these more, you know, Western cultures, thrive. So what we're seeing now is a resurgence, and this is a real big component of our work, is that we cannot do it alone. So this Lone Ranger mentality that we have found has especially prevalent in the United States and similar countries to the United States, is that when we think we need to just go off and muscle up and buck up and be the tough woman and the tough guy and do it all on our own, and we don't have our grandparents and parents and extended family to support us, or our chosen family, then we're lost. We're lost. And I will say this, women in particular, there's a reason we're called gatherers. We are gatherers because we hold the energy of gathering. And when we as women are not gathering with other women that lift us up, we are missing a huge part of our necessity of evolution. We are unable to actually thrive in the way that we are meant to thrive because we're out there on our own trying to fill too many roles, trying to do too many things, and it does not work. It will not work. It has not worked. It's just, it's non-sustainable.
It drives women up.
Yeah, it's not sustainable.
That is so fascinating. This is amazing information, folks. I'm so thankful for this. This is amazing. This is so, I'm serious. This is so beautiful because, look, the reason why it's so amazing to me because I grew up in the huge community where I was born. And the further I got here, the most, I ended up to be totally separated from everything. So it makes sense. So I understand, you know, the living in the community and living by yourself. This is a huge difference, but it makes such a big sense when you say that women cannot thrive by themselves.
Exactly. It's we are tribe people, and to deny that is denying our very sustenance.
But let me ask you this question, another question related to that then. Would that actually have effect also on the children, the way they're behaving today? Because
Oh my gosh, I'll say this, and this is really like probably where spirit has guided me the most in the evolution of what I'm here to contribute to this world, is imagine this. You've got non-communal based, you know, very separate pods of people happening as a result, right? I mean, everybody's sort of like isolated in their own houses, watching their TVs. We were all connected online, but we're still the most disconnected, you know, society ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we add in, imagine, sons and daughters growing up with a mother that really wasn't able to fully bring her mothering, nurturing, feminine qualities to the table because of the patriarchal demands, because of the patriarchal values. Women have had to, or have chosen to, both, be more like men in which to survive in most societies. So now you've got children that have grown up without the very essential and necessary element of the feminine, the mother. I mean, the mother energy is crucial for life to thrive. And when you've got women denying or suppressing or feeling embarrassed about or not really understanding their own innate motherhood qualities within, whether they're a mother or not, is irrelevant. You've got several, if not, you know, several thousand generations of children that have now grown up without that understanding. So it's like we're in a society full of motherless children, even if they've had a mother. So you've got motherless children because they've been not given the kind of nurturing that they need because the women don't even know how to give themselves the nurturing, let alone give it to their children. And then they're growing up in a society that values independence over community. And so you've got like a double whammy going on that has impacted, and this is what I think we're now seeing, the breakdown of our systems are directly related to those two very important qualities that are missing in society.
Wow. This is amazing. So let me ask you this question. Help me to let our listener know, what can we do?
Yeah.
Well, come to our events and workshops, of course.
Well, hey, that's good.
Of course. Yeah.
I think the biggest thing that you can do as an individual, every single person here has the opportunity to transform the world. And it's not from like going out there and being like, I'm going to change the world. That doesn't even work if that person isn't right with themselves first. So the best thing that you can do is educate yourself, train yourself, open up yourself to new possibilities. Don't get, just because it's always been done that way doesn't mean that it has to be done that way now. Question things, ask questions, explore yourself, look inward and really ask, really explore the depth of your own inner being and say, is this me or is this somebody else? Seek communities that support you and build you up and make you feel good. Get rid of toxic relationships. They will, if more and more women, especially women, because they will lead the men to it as well. Like we tried this with men and we work with couples. Eventually we'll work with men as well. But again, we said that the women are more open to this and they're readily available. There's a reason that the Dalai Lama said all those years ago that the Western woman will save the world. When every woman takes a moment and puts themselves first, and not from a, oh, it's all about me, it's all about me. When it's all about you for you, meaning that you don't kill yourself for your children, you don't give away everything that you have all the time for everybody else, and that you make sure that your tanks are filled first as a woman so that you always come from a full place, you will be amazed at how your cup overfloweth with bounty of energy, of love, of support, of resources. But if you're always depleting yourself first and you're always putting everyone else first, which is a standard thing in our society specifically, everyone will suffer.
That's very true. That's very true. Because you don't have too much, you know, energy left over. You're totally depleted.
Right. And we can't give from an empty vessel. Like it's the number one killer of women in America is heart disease. This is like heart chakra challenges, like where we're denying our own ability to be in our feeling center. And then the next three top deaths of women in this culture is related to the same area. It's breast cancer, lung cancer, and respiratory disease. So we're talking about a major epidemic of where what happens when women deny their true essence and then jump into a non-supportive, non-sustainable model, which as we've been seeing, and then try to live from that. So it's an epidemic of global proportions that really all that's needed is for women to come back into themselves, connect with more women, love themselves, relate to other women, find their pleasure, fill their tanks first, and then they bring that to everyone else. And I'll say this one piece that's pretty important as well. Let's just look at, and this comes all the way back to the very place that we started this conversation. Men, the reason why I said women are more available or ready, or, you know, Ronald was talking about that at the beginning of this call, the beginning of this interview. Men literally, physically plug in to women to get their full satisfaction of their sexuality, of their pleasure, of their needs, their desires. They can only be met by plugging into women. And this is, you know, a heterosexual conversation, but it's a biological conversation. Biologically, men are designed to plug into women. So if women are not in their fullest, juiciest, most pleasure-filled place, then they're actually not giving the men what they need, they're not giving themselves what they need, and then nobody wins, especially the children and ultimately the planet.
And it's not just a physical plug-in, it's an energetic plug-in as well.
Yeah, so even those who do not find, who are, you know, homosexual or whatever, there's still a need to be plugged in energetically to the feminine in which to get a sustenance that then allows the men to stand powerfully in their masculine in a way that's not destructive, that's not pent up, that's not, you know, angry and frustrated and violent. So there's multiple ways to look at this, but that is something that is so obvious in nature, and yet we don't even consider on a day-to-day basis the importance of women nurturing themselves first through community, through sisterhood, and then being able to provide what is needed from the man to then actually give the world what they need in partnership.
Yeah, that's so true. As I'm thinking, what do you think that we came to this point, this incredible, I would not necessarily even use the word separation, that we are so split apart that, you know, we have a hard time to come back to the center again. Is that actually the exhaustion? Is that stress? Is this, you know, the scarcity or too much, you know, worrying? What is that?
Well, I think it's all of what you just described. I think at the end of the day, when a woman has denied her pleasure and her power, then therefore it denies the ability for man to have his juice, and then both then come into this power struggle trying to compete and be masculine with each other, and then ultimately that depletes the whole opportunity for the man and the woman to properly or in alignment raise the children, which then create a healthy environment for this world to thrive in.
And I want to be a couple different things here for that as well. Like when raising the children and things like that, most time women, like as soon as the children are born, the man goes to the side and the children are first, and then no longer the man is there, and the woman becomes third after the man. And so a lot of times when we're working with moms and things like that, we always get her to go first, then the husband second, then the children third, and you'd be amazed at how amazing those families thrive over other ones. And it seems completely opposite. Another piece here, just clarity-wise, I want all the listeners to know that we are not suggesting necessarily that we just want women to go get all juiced up and then make sure that they have sex with men, so that way the world will be better. I mean, that might work, and now that I'm thinking about it, maybe that's what we should do. But more specifically, when we
not
say,
a bad idea.
Yeah, not a bad idea. But when a woman is in her joy and in her pleasure and in her juice, whether that's the physical attributes of that or just the emotional contentment, beautiful aspects of that, both of them are going to create a big difference and cause global shift.
But you know what? I think that's what you just said right now. I think this is still a taboo. Not many people are willing to even discuss about this whole thing.
Well, exactly, because come back to everybody's so busy wanting to blame the other person for their happiness or their unhappiness, and therefore they're not willing to step into a more pleasure-filled place to fill their own tanks. Because again, that has been taboo. That has been, oh no, pleasure, not pain first, but work hard first, play later. Work before play. So that's created a place where it's really hard to shift out of that, as well as actually embrace these concepts. It is taboo. It's taboo on multiple levels, on multiple conversations. It's pretty crazy.
I know. but you know, and this is why I was so excited when I find it out that you guys are willing to be on my show, because you know, this is something that I wanted to kind of open my listener to it. And you know, this is a crucial ingredient, because you know what, you can work hard no matter what, but if you do not remove the obstacle or this belief system, you will never to make the change.
Yeah.
You'll never will.
Yeah, exactly. And we see, I mean, we work in the transformational arts industry, and we're deep in the conversation of a lot of people in the transformational arts industry looking at how we have not fully succeeded in helping people transform, because at the end of the day, we've still been preaching a masculine message. Even we've been desiring feminine results and preaching a masculine message. And so now you're starting to see a more balanced approach to the way.
Well,
that
see, this is what I would. One of my questions would be: it's look like, you know, when you have your attendees, you know, attending the seminars or workshop or whatever you do with them, and they can make a progress. You know, how long can they actually pull that progress, or will they actually fall back to their old steps, or to their old behaviors? What is the statistic?
The key,
did you actually have a chance to see the statistic about that?
Yeah. I would say that they have a higher rate of success when they stay engaged in a community, in a sisterhood specifically for the women. If they begin to disengage from that and go back into their regular environment, then there is
a very
high rate of falling back into old patterns. So I couldn't really give you the numbers necessarily, but
Taught for me that, you know, just to figure out what is your experience.
Yeah, and I'll even say this from my own experience, because, you know, healer, heal thyself. I teach what I most need to learn. I've noticed for myself, when I'm out of the environments that keep me in the high vibration, the sisterhoods that help me work out my process in the loving, safe container of sisterhood, I fall into old patterns. And I'm a teacher, and I'm conscious, and I'm aware of when I'm doing it. And I still, with all the books I've read, with all the work I've done, with all the workshops I've taught and taken, I still find myself slipping very fast into, it's like the Matrix. It's like the movie The Matrix. You mm-hmm. will forget that you are, that you have the ability to transcend and transform and create your own reality when you're in a pool of people every day, from the grocery store to the gym to the park to God knows where else you are, that actually don't believe in 100% responsibility for reality creation. So it takes a village, it takes commitment, it takes consistency, it takes ongoing connection with the people that actually hold you to your highest. And without it, just like if you stop going to the gym, you'll lose your muscle. Yep. It's every day. It's diligence and vigilance every day to being in your practice that keeps you in the high vibration, new thought reality creation.
Your environment will always trump your will top power.
Yep.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. Well, folks, we still have only 5 more minutes. What I would love you to do is let our listener know how they can learn more about you. If you have, any kind of seminar coming up, feel free to, you know, let the listener know. And we still have a few more minutes to kind of continue.
Beautiful. Well, there's several different ways that they can connect with us and connect. So the women that are listening, ladies, I would love for you to come and join the fun, fabulous, and feminine movement of women becoming more connected to their pleasure and manifesting all that we desire with less effort. And I would love for you to go to, we have an event coming up in March of 2016 in Los Angeles, California. So if you're interested in learning more about that, there's 2 ways to connect. You can go to FunFabFem.
That's short for Fun, Fabulous, and Feminine.
Yep, and FEM.com, FunFabFEM.com, and learn more about that. We have an online presence, a Facebook group, so Fun, Fabulous, and Feminine Girlfriends, a way to just get in the conversation for free. And I would also want to invite the women to join me. We have a monthly conversation. It's called Power Circles with Powerful Women, where we pull back the curtain on all sorts of amazing topics that matter most to women. You listen in and you get inspired with some evolutionary female leaders. And every month you can join that conversation for free. And so for that, you go to funfabfem.com/powerful women. And for the men.
Yeah, and for the men and couples and things like that, our main business and our main funnel is Lifestylized. And all those links to everything that Sierra mentioned is also on that website as well. But that's Lifestylized, which is LifeStylized. So lifestylized.com. And you can see more about Sierra and I there and get to all that great information.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. I actually saw your event for next March in California, and I have actually a friend of mine is in LA, and I said, maybe I may want to jump there.
Yes.
I think you gotta be there.
You so have to be there. Oh, you will just, you will find a whole new approach to life. And if you got any ahas out of today, you got to
Yes,
be
I did. Trust me, I have.
It's so much fun. I mean, what's not fun about an event called Fun, Fabulous, and Feminine? I mean, come on.
Exactly. Well, folks, I'm so excited and I'm so thankful that you actually took the time and, you know, participated in the show. And you know what? I may be just bringing you back sometimes in the future. you never know. So if you're willing to come back sometime, you know, I would love to have you back.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We've got lots of stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, because there's so much more that we could cover actually today. But, you know, you can just put so much in 1 hour and that's all. You know what I'm saying? And so I didn't want to kind of jump too many topics. But, yes, I would love to, you know, kind of to have more conversation about many other stuff.
Beautiful.
Wonderful.
Sign us up.
Well, awesome. Well, listen, thank you so much. And thanks for coming here. And, you know, I will post, you know, your information is also on my Things Radio Show website. So, and also, you know, I'm sending also, you know, tweeting my radio replay. So, you know, people can actually also get connected there. So thank you so much and have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Night.
Good night. Bye-bye. Good night, everybody. Bye. And thank you for listening. Thank you.